You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, co-host of this wonderful podcast. And joining me on the other line is a man who did not lose $1.5 billion through the coronavirus. It's Mr. Tony E. Tony. We skipped our Monday show together. I feel like we don't know ever. We've been messing with
this. Missed like three in a row.
Yeah, we've been messing with our schedule. But honestly, there's been a lot of us together last week, so people got enough of that. But we're back. And today we're talking about center free agents and some news if you want to for a little bit. You want any comment on the $1.5 billion loss?
Not really, because, I mean, obviously it's bad for the league to be losing money, of course, you know, but I don't think that it's actually going, I mean, I guess for spending on coaches and front office personnel maybe, but in terms of roster construction, I don't feel like it's going to have a huge issue on the teams or the Pacers anytime soon. So it, until it's really known how much it affects every team, right? Like if it actually makes Herb Simon not sign an assistant coach or something, then I can't really speak on its impact on the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was listening to, I want to say Brian Windhorst was on either Bill Simmons or Zach Lowe's podcast, probably Zach Lowe's, and he was saying how they already hold 10% of like the player rent escrow, so if that's $450 million, yeah. You split the $9 billion in half and divide it by 10%. So realistically, the players only would have owed like $300 million more, but I don't know how that
works. Yeah, they can suspend escrow and they do a million things. Like,
yeah, and they'll probably just borrow from the future. That's kind of how they do it. But anyways, look, so.
And it's not my money, so I'm going to give it.
Yeah. Also, all the people that are owners, even if they lost $50 million, are still very rich men and will still be very rich men no matter what, no matter $50 there or not, $50 million or not. So
let's talk about free agency.
Yeah. So we're going to do a centers. We've done the other four positions in previous weeks. So I think go back like the last four Monday or Tuesdays, you'll see a podcast one about point guard, shooting guard, small forward, and power forwards. For agents, the way we do this is we kind of talk about why the Pacers might go after a center or the position, I guess, and then some of the names we like from kind of the lowest kind of
we do the best guys who they probably can't afford, although for the centers that might literally be nobody, and then guys that are good and in their price range, and then the guys that make the most sense. But yeah, we start with why the Pacers would sign a center, and this is kind of a meme, you know, like in seasons past. They drafted Goga and everyone's like, oh, they're going to have a million centers. And they signed Amita Brima, who didn't even make the team. He was just there for preseason. And I remember seeing a ton of tweets from fans about, you know, oh, good, another center, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of been a meme in the past and stuff like that. But I'm kind of skeptical that they will sign a center, but there are reasons to do so.
Yeah, I mean, they have three centers on the roster currently. There would really be no need to unless one gets hurt or one gets moved.
Right. Well, did they have a – they didn't really have a – like, okay, Jakar became that fourth center this year. So I guess in theory you could say, okay, there was, you know, when Sabonis was hurt, they preferred a veteran to Goga. And they might do that again next year if Goga's not ready. So that is the way that maybe they would get one, but I really doubt it. I super doubt it. Like, why not just have Jakar again at that point? So
yeah, and I mean – I would
assume, but that's if they keep all three, and that's.
I mean, last year having Goga as a center wasn't really. I guess it doesn't count in some way because he was sort of a rookie and was like they weren't really willing to play him any actual important minutes in it ever, pretty much all year.
Well, they wouldn't play a young guy ever anyway.
Yeah, so I mean, but second year, if he can't be the backup center on a two center team already, then that's a concerning thing for the 18th overall.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if he's not, I mean, obviously hurt, injuries, whatever, obviously you have to sign somebody. But if all three guys are healthy, that's Turner, Sabonis, and him, it would be really surprising to bring in a fourth center because it's just, it's sort of
well,
a
Well, Leaf can be center roster. Too if you need him to.
Yeah, you can figure out how to play
guys. You don't want that, but it's fine.
Well, it just makes the waste of a roster spot because you could get more value out of bringing in a guy who could maybe play 2 through 4
right.
on Absolutely. The bench, right? I mean, like even something like Edmund Sumner could play 1 through 3 at times, at least if an injury or whatever happens. So
to me, that the reason I started with just a raw signing with the roster is A, we heard from Bjorgren last week. Seems like there's a chance that they keep both Miles and Sabonis. And
I would say right now they are the way he talked.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's a hard PR thing to cut through. You know what I mean? Like, Vic reached out to him too, and my opinions on Vic getting traded didn't really change. But
it's because you had the opinion that Vic wasn't going to get traded, and that right?
Less or so, yeah.
The mind changed.
Yeah, you're right.
Changed from I thought he might get traded before season to now he probably won't. I guess
that. I agree with you there. So to me, that's the easy part, right? If they keep the same centers as last year, no chance they sign one. But you know, we just kind of mentioned it. If they kind of go with what we thought originally of, okay, it's time to move on. This experiment has run its course. Let's trade whichever center we see fit. So it could be that Bjorgren thinks Turner's a better fit and they trade Sabonis. I highly, highly, highly doubt that. Highly, highly doubt that. But it's a possibility. Or the other way around. They like Sabonis more. They trade Turner. Or the lesser thought of one. And some people really want Bjorgren to try to bench one of them. I don't think the Pacers will do that. But, you know, maybe Goga is a piece and a big deal, right? So that any of the three, like, I don't think any of the three are off the table because they're all three assets and play the same position, right? So to clear up the logjam, you have to move one. It could be any of them. I think we both agreed, and we talked about our ranking the trade values thing earlier this summer, that it's supremely more likely it's Turner. But if they were to sign a center, the most likely reason to me is that it's because they traded one of the other guys.
Yeah, and we also can't underestimate in general and just around the league how, like, bad the center market is in general, right? I mean, they're just
so,
like,
oversaturated. So.
Yeah. Well, like, the thing I would say, and we were kind of teasing before the show with each other, we were talking kind of in pre-show, but, like, how many centers are there in the league you really want to, like, pay, let's say, a $20-plus million contract to, right? And they just don't – they just have – I mean, and that's saying, like, you know, maybe even 25 is kind of, like, right? There are probably – I wrote down, like, I got a list of, like, 6 to 7 names, if that – right? I mean, it depends if you count guys at centers or not, but, like, go to, like, Bam, Jokic, Gobert, Joel Embiid, if you count in Anthony Davis, you count Zion at the center, and maybe Sabonis, right? I mean, I don't know how many other centers there are that you'd really want to pay a ton of money to. So,
Brooke Lopez? Just,
more than $20 million?
Oh, no.
Because I think like Gasol is a good center. Depends where you put Ibaka. Depends where you put Lopez. But those guys are not worth.
Vucevic. Vucevic, I'd play $20 million too.
Right, I don't think I'd pay Drummond $20 million. You want to pay Drummond $20 million? You can go trade. For him right now.
I agree with you.
Right, I mean, that's the thing about the center market. They're just, it isn't a position anymore. I mean, there are basically. I mean, I think honestly, there are basically like three centers you can actually like win a championship with. Right,
the ones you pay a lot, either they have a super super special unique skill, or they can be ball dominant. That's what I think.
Right, I mean, there are three on that list I said that actually you could pay max money to and be your number one guy and made one championship. That's Jokic, Bam, and Davis. And Davis again isn't really a center; he's a power forward. Guess Embiid. Yeah, I don't know. Embiid thing. I worry about health, but yeah.
Thing is, when I say it's oversaturated, and you're right that the way that the position is used in the NBA now, and the way the NBA is with ball handlers being so much more important, that it's really hard to have a center be really high paid and still be good. Now, Davis is, like I said, one of those unicorn guys who is so special skilled, that's okay. But, like, there's always, like, Greg Monroe can't make teams anymore. And Greg Monroe's not good, but Greg Monroe is, like, if he's your backup center for 10 minutes, that's fine, right? Like, that's even minutes, basically. You know, like Robin Lopez, he's the Bucks, like, second or third string center or whatever, like, he's just very fine. And you can get – there are a ton of those guys that are just not on teams every year, right? Kyle Quinn gets to them every year. And he was a great third center for the Pacers. So even if they trade one of those guys, it sort of feels like it doesn't have to be a priority and you just kind of wait and see where the market settles and see who will take your minimum, because it's not really a position that you go, let's throw a bunch of resources at this, especially because they'll still have presumably one of Turner and Sabonis.
Yeah, and I mean they already have committed – even if you get rid of one of those, $22 million to the center position, which is a lot of money, between an $18 million contract and a $4 million go-go contract, assuming he stays. I mean, the thing with the center market is, like, there's a good opportunity and value, and I think, like, a team like Boston's kind of this way, and even you can throw in Toronto in this situation, where, like, if you need, like, just, like, you have a really good 1-4, you just need a 5 or a bench 5, for example, like, there's a good value because, like, you can get someone like Tristan Thompson, who isn't a great player, but, like, if he's your 9th man, the value is worth nothing. Right. You don't have to pay him $16.4 million anymore, right? That's a great guy to have there. I mean, even Drummond in that same sense is really good as kind of that 9th or 10th guy. But
that's the deal with Cantor, right? He went from the $16 million guy to the Celtics 10th man, and they're like,
well, he got overpaid too. He got, I mean, he got, I mean, he, a lot of these centers, they get, there was such a weird market for a while, right? Like Kanter got, what did he get, max, and then matched by the, from,
no, I don't know if he got, he got a lot. I don't think he got
$70 million, I believe, from,
he got a lot, yeah,
from the Trailblazers that was then matched by the Oklahoma State Thunder.
Who dude could play. Score, but holy moly, that he's an awful defender. But yeah, not, like, that's what I mean, though. Like
Nahimi, same way.
He's not. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, he got paid, but you know, they're just not that good. Guys can be had in your, or excuse me, not like not bad players can be had for good player money. So that's what makes it kind of the reason why they would do it is if they traded a guy, it's just so easy to scoop one up, and it's a great allocation of resources to me because like. It, again, they have to have traded one for it to be a good use of resources. If they have a fourth center, that's a terrible use of resources. But like having Kyle Quinn on the minimum again, like, is great. You know, that kind of stuff is great because then if you have an injury or like if Goga's not up to it one night, all of a sudden you have capable play anyway. And who cares? It costs the minimum, so that's why you do it.
Yeah, and for like 20 of the 30 teams that don't have the ability to play a superstar at every moment on the court because they're not, you know, have two superstars, or 25 of the 30 teams, having a really good center on the bench is good for minutes because most teams have, most teams can't find a matchup to exploit at that time, right? I mean, if you're going bench versus bench, they're playing some other center that's not great, you're doing the same thing, right? There aren't a lot of teams that play small off their bench, right? If they're staggering guys minutes, they can play small, but they're not just like bringing five guys and playing small right off the bench, and that's why you get away with the center because there just aren't enough good small ball players, right? There's such a lack of stretch four and five in this league that like you have to play traditional off the bench a lot of times.
I agree.
Okay, so tease me one name before we hit a break. Just tease me one name
for the Pacers or the guy that's out of their price range.
We'll start in the bottom. That's the one they're looking at. So guy they might look at, guy you're targeting. Give me one name.
Alex Len.
All right, so we're gonna talk about Alex Len and a bunch more centers after our first break, which is to talk about our wonderful sponsors at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com right now to shop for all the auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers you could ever need. They have everything from engine control modules to brake pads to tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose from the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and same for the professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. A made in selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So, Tony, why should the Pacers sign Alex Len?
Alex Len is alarmingly solid. The reason – so, remember, I'm going to go back in time a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Two seasons ago when the center rotation was Turner, Sabonis, Kyle Quinn, and we both said going into that summer that, you know, they should use their cap space on – you know, they ended up doing Tyreek Evans, McDermott, but – you know, shooter, score, and then whatever resources they have left, get that third center. And we both talked about Kyle Quinn because he can pass a little. He's a good rebounder. He can score. He wasn't good, like, awesome at anything. But Kyle Quinn could kind of do just stuff. He could just do stuff, and that made him useful when there was injuries, and he could plug up some minutes and never get you killed. Alex Len totally has not lived up to his whatever. He was a top 10 pick, right? And that was forever.
Yeah, I think that was the top five pick or top seven pick.
He was the fifth overall pick. And the 2013 draft was awful. Like,
the Anthony Bennett
draft. Yeah. Victor Oladipo draft. Awful draft, right?
Yeah, so, like, Victor.
So, like, not – again, it's not his fault he got picked fifth. And he's not a fifth pick, right? Like, that's no way to look at him. He's 27 now. But in his last – you know, the Suns, we've seen a lot of young players go to the Suns and not live up to what was thought of them. But – with the Hawks and Kings, his last two stops, he hasn't been, like, awesome, but he's kind of been that O'Quinn-ish guy where he's just, like, solid on the glass and can do enough stuff in the paint and isn't just an atrocious defender. It's like, okay, great. If that is your guy, you know, if your starter, let's just presume, because we both predict he's the most likely to get moved to guy, is Turner. Let's just presume Turner's gone. If your starter's Sabonis, your backup's Goga, and your third guy's Alex Len, that's fine. That'll do. Because Sabonis will play like 34 minutes next year anyway, if that's the case.
Yeah, I think that's a good case.
But normally we don't go in this order where we list targets. We go for who are the best guys at the position, even if they don't make sense for the Pacers, right? Because the doomsday scenario where, say, they move both of Turner Sabonis, right? Who would they be going for? And it's kind of a weird market for center this year, because even though it's super oversaturated position, there aren't a lot of good guys at the top of the list.
Yeah, I think the reason I didn't want to start with this one is simply because, like, there is no feasible scenario where they don't have a starting center that's one of those two. Like, even it'd have to be both of one out, and if one gets out, why would they trade the other one? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even if it's a, we have a preferred pick, but if a preferred pick says I want out, then you just keep the backup pick.
I agree with you. Both are starting
quality centers. I mean, they are good enough both to start.
It would have to be like they both want out and demand a trade.
Which I don't see happening. And
first, I don't either.
When you have guys with three or four of the contract, it basically says, okay, don't play basketball for three more years.
You can basically tell them to piss off. Yeah. So, plus the other thing that makes this quick is like there's only one guy probably worth more in the MLE, and that's Drummond, and he's a player option. He could opt in, and all
he's
of a sudden, like,
in, I assume, for $25 million.
Yeah, I would also, like, yeah, I don't know where the hell he thinks he's going to go.
Wait, you missed Kelly Olynyk, who opted in for 12 and a half, probably.
Kelly Olynyk is actually a good player because he can play the four and the five.
Yeah, but he's almost 30, and he's not going to get
more. He's old, yeah.
You can probably opt in and still get another three for 15 or something next.
Yeah, but every other center, right, the next kind of tier is Hassan Whiteside and Mark Gasol and Tristan Thompson and Olynyk and Mason Plumlee. Those kind of guys who are all – I guess Gasol started, but he's ancient now. He's going to be 36 next season. All those guys are like solid backups who have been overpaid in the past, and it's kind of like their role has been actualized. So in a world where they need a center with Goga, you know, any of those guys I think would be happy to take a starting job for less money. But again, I do not think there's any scenario where the Pacers want any of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, the only way the Pacers, going back to our, like, two centers being gone thing, is if they somehow can upgrade a center, right? And that would be one of the seven guys I need on that list. If one of those guys is available, maybe.
But let me cut you off at the pass a little bit. Let's say they trade Turner Goga. Now they still need a center, and getting one of these good guys isn't crazy. You know, like they're already all backups, except for Marc Gasol, and he's probably not going to accept the backup role at this stage of his career.
Well, yes, all the guys on this list, because there's not a single starting center on this list.
Except for Drummond, and again, no.
No, but there's not a single guy I'd start as a center if I was at NBA.
Marc Gasol, I would. He's good. But
well, I guess I would start him, but he only played 20 minutes probably.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's old. Right, so I agree with you there.
Last year, that was it.
I'm 100% with you there, and that's what makes – We already talked about why this is so unlikely, but yeah, even if they move two guys, they're still looking at backups, right? So that's still why their resource allocation doesn't lend to any of these top guys being a priority, or even someone they're looking hard at or looking heavy
at. Yeah, so let's take your scenario. Who is the best guy they can sign that would fit? I guess would they have cast?
What scenario where they trade Turner and Goga?
Goga, but they have to use, let's say, the mid level, or
I keep cutting you off. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. Mid-level.
Yeah, the full mid-level is, I think, a waste of resources.
Right, still. So you use half the mid-level on it, let's say.
Because, yeah, exactly. Like, you could either spend the full mid-level and get one of those guys we just said, none of whom are, like,
world
beaters, or you could spend half of it and get Aaron Baines, who is good, you know, and just as useful, almost just as useful as any of those guys. So I would just do that myself.
So Aaron Baines is the top guy, if you had a name for that kind of category?
Yeah, Aaron Baines can shoot. Did you know that? Aaron Baines can actually, like, can
three. He was, like, the reason the Suns got such a hot start in the end of the season.
Yeah.
But you can't.
He shot 35% from three on four attempts per game this season. Man. So, yes, if they end up, for some reason, needing a reserve center, Aaron Baines would be the dream target. But, you know, they also have the BAE. So, like, for those who don't know what the BAE is, for teams over the cap, you get what's called the biannual exception. If you use it, you don't get it the next season. It's for every 2 years. But it's a two-year deal at about $3.5 million. So that would be a good way to get a center. You get, you know, a cheap guy in a two-year deal who can be your second or third string guy if you need it. And that you could throw at, like, some of the guys we've named earlier who might be available. Baines, Robin Lopez, Alex Len, JaVale McGee, I guess. Like, center list is not very appealing, but.
You a big Thon Maker fan?
We can talk about that in our preferred targets segment coming up.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so Aaron Baines is probably somebody who probably overqualified to be. I mean, he's not a starter, but like I feel like in a guy who would scenario where you get like you talk about we get rid of like Turner and Goga to play only 14 minutes a game. That makes sense.
Yeah, but, if it's just third string guys, he's overqualified for sure.
Right, like he would probably better have taken a role like with Boston, come turning back to Celtics because that's what he
absolutely.
Be honest, they probably regret not having him. To be honest,
I agree.
So yeah, I mean, I mean on this list, I mean like Myers Leonard isn't you know very good either. I guess I mean I don't really think he would fit in any real way and whatnot. But oh, so I don't know. I mean, I think we got to just kind of move on to like actual targeted, right?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so let's do that. But first, we are also brought to you by our wonderful friends over at BuiltBar.com, which has been a lovely sponsor of this podcast for almost 6-7 months now. They have 18 amazing protein bar flavors that are 100% covered in chocolate. They have all kinds of flavors, like I said, from everything from Cherry Barcia, the old play on the Cherry Garcia, to carrot cake, to you know classic ones like peanut butter or double chocolate. The bars are soft and easy to chew, and they are great for somebody that's healthy, conscious. They help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and great for the keto diet. My favorite one, I've said it since the beginning, the peanut butter one, which has 19 grams of protein and only 180 calories. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. How many targets do you have on your list, Tony, for free agents? If there is an opportunity to get somebody, let's say at that, you know, third string center type position.
Can I make a joke before we go?
Yeah.
So there is a $100 million player the Pacers could sneak in for the minimum here to be their third center this offseason, Adam. Okay. Willie Cauley-Stein is available.
Who said it was $100 million? Who said
Larry that? Bird. Oh, you remember yeah. that?
When, in the draft?
Let me Google the exact time, but yeah, he called him a $100 million player. Willie Cauley-Stein says Larry Bird told him he's a $100 million player. And that was before the draft, and Candace Buckner broke that news in May of 2015.
And that is why Larry Bird is no longer a GM.
The $100 million man could finally be a Pacer after all this time. He's a player option with the Mavs, and I kind of doubt any center with a player option will turn it down in this weird offseason, but he's actually a good player, so if he's available, that'd be fine. But I kind of think Baines is the dream target for a third-string center, and that's what I'm operating as when you say who's the dream target for the Pacers, because I think we both agree it's most likely if there's a center trade that only one of them gets moved. But Baines probably not willing to accept that kind of role, so you got to kind of scrape the barrel and go lower. Nerlens Noel, if he would take that role, I think he would be the dream target, but I kind of doubt he'd do it. So my actual answer is going to be very boring, and that's because – centers are boring and the Pacers don't really need one, is Willy Hernan Gomez. Do you know anything about him?
Do I know anything about him? Yes, I know who he is. I mean, there's not a lot to say about him, but I know who he is. Bounced around, right?
He definitely has. He was a 35th pick in 2015. So some teams bought in his potential, and he's been like a fine backup level guy for both the Knicks and the Hornets in seasons past, like 6-7 points a game, 5 rebounds, but fairly productive and never played big minutes for any team, but he looks like an okay player when he plays, so I'm assuming he's just would just take a deal to stay in the NBA. So if I had to throw a minimum at a guy, I think Willy Hernan Gomez is my guy.
Yeah, he was a staple next to Porzingis for a while. Kind of played backup to him, but played next to him at times too when yep. he was in New York. Remember that? That's how I remember him basically.
He started 22 times his rookie year for the Knicks, and there was like a hot second of thought of like, yeah, this dude could be like a decent backup for like a long time for this Knicks team. And then, you know, Mitchell Robinson came in and
yeah, my roommates better, in college but... were big Knicks fans. That's why I remember him.
Yeah.
Knicks weren't very good. And we always got in college, whatever the Knicks played on. It's SN New York, I think, or something like that, or whatever it was. They always were on, so we were able to watch them, but they were a garbage team. But I remember him from that basically. And that was about it. Yeah. I mean, not a bad third center, I think. Right. I mean, this is a guy or even second kind of, bench center, because like I said, looking at a guy who's willing to play about 14 minutes a game is what we're looking at.
Yeah, if he's third string, are you kidding? It's like 2 minutes.
Well, I guess I'm going with your scenario where a center and go end up being traded because of
something. I see. Well, yeah, in that case, I would go higher for like an Aaron Baines guy. But, you know, here's another option that we haven't even kind of talked about. So, like, Joakim Noah, he's a million. He should not play unless, you know, there's an injury situation or foul trouble situation. But a guy like that to come in and teach defense to whoever stays, even if Turner stays, learning from a former almost defensive player of the year is not a bad thing. I'm kind of for that mentor sort of deal.
Yeah, I mean, Noah's really washed.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is not an NBA player anymore.
He is the
perfect. Did he ever actually appear in a game for the Clippers? He did. He played in five.
He's the epitome of Tom Thibodeau just burning a player.
He was a legit stud. Like, around the Hibbert times, he was also an all-star, too. Those dudes were like, can you believe it? The defensive center is dominating the Eastern Conference with Joakim Noah and Roy Hibbert this decade.
Yeah.
But he was really good for a hot second there.
I think he made a 13 all NBA, I want to say.
He did make all NBA, you were correct, in 2013-14.
Yeah.
Three-time all-defensive team guy. Never won defensive player of the year, but was very close. And, yeah, I get that, you know, he's not good anymore, right? Like, he only played in 7 games 3 seasons ago and 5. He's played 54 games in the last 3 seasons, right? That kind of sums up his value on the court very well. But because of his past chops as a good defender, that's not a bad guy to teach other guys on your team, even if he never plays. So not the worst use of a minimum deal.
So what do you think of Thon Maker? I think he's, you know.
I mean, the idea of Thon will always be better than actual, right? Thon. Right?
Was he the number one recruit 1 year? Or was he supposed to be? And
he didn't end up going to play in college. Because remember, IU was rumored to be interested in him for a second.
That's right.
Yeah. But never went to college, came out of high school. 10th pick, Jason Kidd reached on him. And he's like – shown some flashes of being an okay NBA player, but that's never really actualized. Is he your guy? I mean, he's still pretty young, right? Yeah, he's only 23.
Yeah, that's why I like him as like a third gig, and maybe he turns into something.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it'd be hard to, like, he'd have to play really well to actually show something.
You know who Milwaukee took over, him over?
2016. I don't know.
This is an easy one if you just could.
Oh, it's Turner, look. Right?
Nope, you're a year off.
I'm a year off, dang. I don't know.
Next year, Sabonis.
Oh.
Sabonis went 11.
One pick later, wow.
Yeah. I mean, imagine.
Thon's like.
Sabonis next to Giannis. That'd be a much better fit.
Okay. Is Harry Giles a center? Can we use him in this section?
If you want to. Is he?
He's kind of a 4 and another – kind of the same situation as Thon, right?
You'd probably
be taking a flyer. But Harry Giles has actually shown good stuff in the NBA, where Thon has shown, like, intermittent stuff.
Doesn't Harry Giles have knee issues or something like that?
Yes.
Isn't that why he kind of continues to be sort of like a – like, he was also a top, you know, 3 or 4 recruit when he came out of college, I think.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, Thon's interesting just on a potential on a flyer. And that's, again, if this is your third string guy and you're throwing a minimum, maybe a flyer is a move, right? We've kind of named the tiers of how this works, right? You've got Willy Hernan Gomez, who's, like, actually good, and if he played, would help your team win. You get Joakim Noah, who would have the long-term, like, lasting potential mentor effect, although would not help at all on the court. Then you got Thon, who could be awesome and – a very unlikely, like less than 1%, but could be awesome. Probably will just be okay and is just sort of there. So there's a couple paths they could take is a good summary of the way we're looking at these targets. Because when I look at the, like, these are the list of guys who have minimums this year who are going to be free agent centers: Kyle Quinn, Nerlens Noel, Ante Zizic, Jahlil Okafor, Damian Jones, Dewan Hernandez, Justin Patton. Like, none of those guys are worth it to me to eat. For any reason, maybe Patton for the same reason as Thon. He was a one-off a lottery pick a few years ago, but it's just really hard for me to think getting any of those guys makes sense.
So before we wrap up, I want to play one quick game. I'm going to name some really high paid centers, and you're going to tell me how much they get paid the next season.
Okay. In next season?
Yeah. I'm just going to name you. Just give me a number fast as you can. Okay. You ready?
Wait, what I think they're paid or what they're actually paid? Like what they
No. I'm going to say what they're paid currently and what you think they'll be paid next year.
Okay.
Like, they're high paid now. So, like, Hassan Whiteside makes $24.6 million. What does he make next year?
9.
Okay. Bismack Biyombo makes $18 million. What does he make next year?
Nothing.
You think he's out of the league?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. Maybe a minimum. He's not good.
Okay. Tristan Thompson makes $16.4 million this year. What do you think he makes next year?
He's okay. Like 7.
Jan Mahimi makes 16, I'm assuming zero next year.
Yeah, zero or minimum.
Mason Plumlee makes 13.6.
Mason Plumlee's good.
Right, he's actually decent.
Yeah, he's the second best guy. Well, maybe the best guy you've named. Seven or eight, yeah.
And then we did Olenek already. He's going to pick up his option, we assume, for 12.5, so we can ignore him. Myers Leonard makes 10.25.
Minimum again. I mean, the Heat started him a lot, so he could make a little more, maybe like four or five.
Isn't this amazing? These are probably, I just think I named like eight centers who 4 years ago, in the last 4 years,
they're all making over $10 million.
That's yeah, crazy. Then all over probably combined have eaten. I mean, we're probably talking, I can't think of the, like, let's say average $60 million. So there's $500 million worth of money thrown at centers over the past, you know, 4 years, let's say. Maybe 400.
Biombo got the Sabonis contract. That's crazy.
Yeah, and he got it because of one, him and Yamahimi got it because of like one good year has last series.
Yep. It's insane.
Timing of free agency, man. And Thompson got it because he leveraged his championship year really well. He did. The only time.
He's a clutch guy, right? They only time out clutch, for forever.
Did you see that clutch article where they like the agents all roasted clutch because they were like blowing guys money and whatnot? And they like, it was like the Athletic Anonymous article.
Yes, I did see that. But clutch has done a very good job, so I don't get those
complaints. Well, with Tristan they have, but they've blown it for a couple guys.
Who?
They blew it with KCP, like clearly.
I thought he didn't want to be in Detroit on purpose. He still made a lot of money.
Yeah, but he had $80 million and he's only made like 24.
The guy, you're talking about Nerlens Noel, aren't you?
No, both those guys got blown.
So Nerlens was not with Clutch when he got screwed. He was with Happy Walters.
But
then Clutch got him back on teams. Yeah, KCP did lose some money from Detroit, but I thought that was intentional.
If it was a bad advice. They offered him 4 for 8 and he turned it down. And he has not sniffed near $10 million a year since then.
Worked out great for the Pistons. Yeah, that's fair.
Well, and it worked out great that for yeah, the Lakers in clutch with LeBron and Davis.
True.
Just saying. Oh. I mean, they have blown for everybody. But Thompson's one of the few ones where they really, really succeeded because they got him, you know, he got way more than his worth. I mean, I think Eric Bledsoe might have got kind of.
He got a lot from them, right?
Who?
Eric Bledsoe. He got a lot from the Bucks because of clutch.
Yeah, yeah, and he, the first time around, though, when he was a unrestricted free agent with the Suns, got a little bit.
I'm gonna head to this list and waste my time. This is not worth our podcast. Jordan Clarkson got a lot, clutch. That's a good one.
Yeah,
Draymond Green, clutch guy, got a bunch.
Okay, all right.
We'll see what happens with Trez this summer. See, he could.
Yeah, we had to do this because there was no football 5 minutes because both the teams were on bias.
How about Corey Joseph getting a bunch of money? That's a clutch.
Yeah,
I can't believe Corey Joseph's the clutch sports guy. Isn't that crazy? Deion Waiters, there's another one. Another success.
Okay. I mean, they have like, you know, I'm just saying KCP's a really bad miss. Is all.
He is. But he's, I think, the only one. Maybe Ben McElmoy.
Yeah, but no, he might be the only guy, I think, in the last 5 years who didn't get more money than he was worth. Like,
for agents. From clutch, you mean?
No, or I mean, it's like this tier of free agents who are like, none of them are top, let's say, 50 guys, but they're all like in the 150 range. Like, we have a list of guys who were probably fell in that at one point and all got overpaid, but KCP is the one guy who never actually got overpaid.
Yeah.
And like, in this year where all this free agent money was available, right? We're like, you know, we're like I said, we're like the Biznap Beyond making $18 million because money's just being thrown around. Like, it doesn't matter. And a guy like KCP, who is a small forward, was pretty decent, ended up making
small forward, shoots at league average from three, can score a little bit, and yeah.
Like, it's like the perfect, like overpay guy. I mean, we're talking Otto Porter got $120 million. I'm trying to go through names that got a ton of money.
Yeah. You can tell how important a center could be to the Pacers by how far we have drifted from the top.
Yeah. But yeah. So anyways, I'm just saying KCP's a funny example. I didn't mean to bring that up and just it's kind of funny.
No, that's okay. So yeah, I think just to wrap up this conversation, you know, this is easily the most unlikely position to get signed to me. We were through point guards and shooting guards, which are both unlikely in their own right because of the logjam, but it always makes sense to have depth at those spots. But at center, it doesn't even maybe a two-way guy, like maybe, but even then, it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would they keep both centers. There's just
no point.
Yeah, there's just no.
Or if they keep Jakar, then you're just that's it done. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Well, they keep Jakar. I don't know. I mean, that's just. I
have no idea. I don't know.
It's hard to gauge with guys like that.
Yeah, minimum guys. I have no idea.
Yeah,
but irrelevant. I think we've wrapped our bow around the conversation.
Yeah, so I guess we don't have any more phrases to talk about going forward. So what are we going to do the next few weeks, Tony?
A lot of other lockdown shows have done something called Target Tuesday, where they like pick a trade target and break down why. I don't know. We could do that, or we could start draft stuff.
I was going to say draft is coming on the corners.
I think draft stuff should be our move. So we could start looking at like trading in the first round, stuff like that.
And Tony did this yesterday, but could be close to a season start. Like we might get one.
Yeah, Mark Stein, while we were recording at him, reported that training camp could start December 1st. So
it's like a quick turnaround.
35 days away. Yeah, very quick.
I can't imagine LA wants to actually play that quickly, but maybe.
No, Danny Green does not. He already said that on The Ringer. So.
Well, the thing is, too, they did have 6 months off or 5 months off between, well, right. Like four, I guess, between the end of it. But, like, that wasn't really time off because you're just sitting there nervous for 4 months. But that's everybody in the world, frankly. So we'll bring you – what we have two more shows this week. We'll do – you have an interview with – you want to announce it or no?
No, not yet.
Okay. An interview with a to-be-announced guest, and I will bring you one of our player reviews. I'll decide that this week at some point. Tony, I haven't talked about that one yet, so we'll figure that out. And like always, we'll be bringing you about 4 to 5 shows a week, depending on the level of news and what, you know, the Pacers. And so, as always, you can follow us at Locked On Pacers, Tony at TCNBA, me at Freeman Adam 5. That is all for Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys later.